Picture, if you can, for 1 minute, a map of the ocean floor. In the Atlantic Ocean, the continental shelf gives way to a steep descent into the Hatteras Abyssal Plain. Then it climbs back up at the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. In the Pacific, the deepest part of the ocean is the Mariana Trench. The ocean floor has mountain ranges and valleys, just like dry land. And the map you're looking at also holds the key to plate tectonics, the theory that explains how continents shift and move. But few people know anything about the person behind this map, a woman named Marie Tharp.
Here is the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, and the unusual feature is it has this great big cleft in the middle of it.
Having a master's degree in geology was rare for a woman in the 1940s. Her own partner dismissed her findings as girl talk at first, but that didn't stop Marie Tharp from changing the field forever. Hallie Felt is author of Soundings, the story of the remarkable woman who mapped the ocean floor, and she says the map that we're envisioning today would not be possible were it not for Tharp.
Marie was an amazing woman who mapped the entire ocean floor between 1952 and 1977. She did it using sounding records, earthquake epicenters, and salinity measurements of the ocean, all sorts of different types of data to try and figure out what the ocean floor looked like, because no one knew what it looked like before she came along.
So let's talk a little bit more about that science of what Marie Tharp did, because the data and the technology was, by today's standards, really rudimentary.
Yes. Yeah, so what they were doing was taking out a ship, and the ship would have what's called a fathometer, which would basically print out on a long sheet of paper a profile of the ocean floor. She had like hundreds of these, and she took all of them and put them together into long, sort of, if you think about splicing or editing together images for movies. And when she first started off, she only had 6 tracks across the North Atlantic Ocean. And the way that I like to explain this to people is by saying, if you imagine 6 clotheslines strung across the ocean from North America to Europe or Africa.
What turned Marie Tharp on to doing this work in the first place?
She got her degree as an undergraduate in geology, and she went on to get a master's in geology. But then when she tried to find work, she was a woman in the 1940s, and it was right after World War II had ended, and there was really no room for her. So first she was working for an oil company in Oklahoma, and then she ends up in New York City. And she goes to Columbia University, where there's a newly formed geophysical lab, and she asks for a job, essentially. And because she'd had experience drafting, so doing scientific drawings, she was hired. But she was hired as a research assistant to work for men who were younger than her and didn't have the degrees that she had.
And so once she started generating this data, mapping the ocean floor, you know, the normal way we're used to this happening in the scientific world is you collect your data, you do your work, you publish your work, you get recognized for your work, and you advance because of your work. And Marie Tharp was not able to follow this pattern I'm describing.
No, it was really different for her. So because she was a woman, she actually wasn't allowed to go out on ships in the beginning of her career. So her data was collected by other people, usually by her scientific partner, Bruce Hazen. And he was the person who really got all of the funding for their work and who convinced people that it was important to do. Back in 1948, he came into her office with a bunch of boxes of these sounding records. The ones that I described were the rolls of paper, and said, we've got to do something with these. You know, gender comes in here as well, because it's not a job that really anyone wanted to do. And because she was a woman, she ended up doing it. And the unfortunate part is that once Bruce Hazen died and wasn't able to get the funding for their work, their mapping work, she was actually not able to do her work anymore.
So what's critical to the understanding that we have today, not only of the map of the ocean floor itself, but to our understanding of plate tectonics, of continents? What's been the real contribution from Marie Tharp to the field here?
Yeah, so it's really simple in the sense that she gave us a picture of what most of our Earth looks like. I've heard it described as, before her, if the Earth were a football, we only knew what the laces looked like. But after her, we knew what the entire football looked like. But the complex part is that she actually discovered a rift valley that runs around the entire Earth for 40,000 miles. And this rift valley is what was key to the development of the theory of plate tectonics. now we know that two plates are moving apart from each other. They're actually being separated by magma that's coming up through the crust of the Earth. Marie was actually able to discover this by looking at core samples, which are like drills down into the Earth's crust, and then they're lifted out, and it kind of looks like a sand bottle. So you can see all the different layers of the Earth's crust, and you can date them. And using all of that kind of information, she got all of these very specific dots, and the dots looked like a mountain range, essentially. But then when she said, oh, okay, the crust in these places is really young, it must mean that magma's coming up and actually rebuilding the Earth's crust. And so she's the one who first mapped that. And without those maps and without that information, there wouldn't have been anything for other scientists to come along and look at and start to write the papers that are sort of thought of as the canon of plate tectonics, the papers that all came together and told people that, yes, we're living on an Earth that has plates that are moving.
Well, Hallie Felt, you said about writing and researching this biography. What's driven you to bring Marie Tharp out of relative obscurity, frankly, and write about her and publicize her in this way?
So when I first read about her, I was just completely fascinated because I hadn't thought about the ocean floor before. I hadn't thought about what it looked like. I hadn't thought about all the work that it took to map it because it's covered up by all that water. And then when I started reading about Marie herself, she just was such an amazing person who was so curious and really wanted to bring together art and science and give the general public a picture of what our Earth looked like. And she was doing it during a time when women were not really allowed to enter the sciences, or it was made very, very difficult for them. But she persevered and did one of the most important scientific projects of the 20th century, despite all of that.
And it seems to me at this point, you know, at the very least, the United States Navy could name a nuclear submarine after her. They would be out of business without the work that Marie Tharp did.
Yes, that's a fantastic idea I haven't heard of. So even today, actually, it's interesting you bring that up. The ocean floor is not mapped in extreme detail, so we really only have between 10 and 20% of the ocean floor mapped in detail. So in 2005, a submarine actually crashed into a mountain that they didn't know was there. So still much more work needs to be done.
Hallie Felt is the researcher and author of Soundings, the story of the remarkable woman who mapped the ocean floor, a book all about the life and the work of Marie Tharp. Hallie Felt, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.